We're going to, as I said, continue our study from the teachings from 1 John. The theme, as we pointed out before, if a person is to enjoy being right with God, then they have to behave in a righteous, godly manner. We've looked at and discussed that if we are to, as John uses over and over in 1 John, if we are to have the Father, if we are to be with the Father, if the Father is going to be pleased with us and we are to be pleasing with Him, then we are to walk in the light, because He is not darkness. The light and the darkness cannot mesh. We looked at the fact that if we are to have the Father, we are going to confess our sins. We see in chapter 1 there that many said they had no sin, that they did not sin. Others said that there was no such thing as sin. If you are to be pleasing to God, not only do you accept the fact that there is sin in the world, but you accept the fact that at times past you have sinned, and in future sin, when you do sin, that you humble yourself. As we looked at in class this morning, the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel humbled himself. Cain, when he had sinned, he chose not to humble himself before God. We humble ourselves. We confess our sins. And then we looked at last time that if we are to have the Father, we will not love the world. We will not love the things in this world. And those that do not have the Father, they love this world. They love the things of this world. And they love those things that we've talked about: lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They seek those things out. They want to fulfill those lustful pleasures. And if we want to be pleasing to God, we will not engage in those things. This morning, we're going to look at whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. So again, we have this phrasing used of, if you know, you do not have the Father. So when we see that phrasing, that should cause us to pause and think for a moment. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Well, I want the Father. You know, I want to be right with the Father. I want the Father to be pleased with me. So to that end, then, we should pause and we should say to ourselves, and we should reflect upon this and say, okay, here's John telling us, here's something. If you want to be pleasing the Father, don't do this. Well, we need to delve into this. We need to understand what John is saying here and to understand this better. So we want to read this starting in verse 18 and down to verse 23. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So we have the reading here from verses 18 through 23. Remember verse 15 through 17 we talked about last time. We talked about the love of the world. We mentioned that just a moment ago. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. In verse 17 it says, "And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." This world is passing away. This is the idea that we now have brought up here in verse 18, talking about the last hour. In other passages in the New Testament, we have it described as the last days. We're living in the last hour, these last days. We don't know when Christ will come again. And the point that the author is making here, that John's making, is not to tell them that, well, Christ will come on such and such day. We have people all the time and all over trying to predict when this world we're in, when Christ will come again. The calendar, they say, of the Mayans, it runs out here coming up soon, right? And the world's going to end. Well, how many people have in the past tried to predict the end of the world and you simply can't do it? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. But here he's telling them that they need to be prepared, they need to be ready. And there are these antichrists that are walking about. There's a lot of false teaching when it comes to Antichrist. And I think that translations have done it a disservice. The New King James that I read from says the Antichrist. And here we have Antichrist and the A being capitalized. And it seems like it's a possessive person. It's one person that we need to look for. And the religious world teaches this and says that here's this one, this horrible being that's going to happen. And that's the Antichrist. When we point to that, that's the one. Some people say Hitler was the Antichrist. Now, Hitler was certainly an antichrist, because look at what it says here. An opponent of the Messiah. This definition, whether it be the antichrist that's used in verse 18, whether it be in verse 22, whether it be in other passages in the New Testament, this is the definition. from G473 and G5547. G473 is opposite. It's the mean opposite. We understand opposite. G5547 is Christ. It's opposite of Christ. Here is one who is an opponent of the Messiah. If you are an opponent of the Messiah, if you are an opponent of Christ, you're an antichrist. And that's exactly what John is pointing out. John isn't saying that there's one particular individual. In fact, he says, what does he say? He says, there are many antichrists. Many have come, and many more are to come. So he's not saying, pointing out one particular individual in history, Hitler, any other number of people, Stalin, that we can say that have done terrible, heinous things on this world. You know what? He's actually labeling them just as bad as one that teaches false teachings. That's what he's saying. That there's one that opposes Christ. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about Antichrist. Now, we see here in verse 19 that it says, they went out from us. Now, this is very interesting because here we have Antichrist, and he's saying these people were a part of us. In fact, you know, if you delve into this and you reflect upon what it's saying, more than likely these Antichrists were still a part of them. If we look at the church as a group of people, which it is, the church is the body of the saved, the body of the people. Well, what he's saying is there are those among them that are these Antichrists. There are those that are among them that are falling away, false teaching, and they're trying to deceive others into falling away as well. This idea of went out is to issue, come, depart, out of, escape, get out, go abroad, proceed, spread about. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to just leave. You know, the idea here, here's one, they went out from us, that they literally exposed themselves and said, hey, I'm a false teacher, I'm an antichrist, and they left and they departed from them. That's not the idea. The idea instead is one here that is going out as far as not following the teachings of Christ anymore. Here's an antichrist who's not following those teachings of Christ anymore, but that doesn't mean that they left and said, they exposed themselves and said, hey, I'm an antichrist. I'm no longer following the teachings of Christ correctly. No, they were amongst them. They were trying to stir this up. They were trying to get more to fall away. Because what does it say? It says, they were not of us. Now, the point is, they were not of us. They're no longer of Christ, just like we've talked about, right? So, the light and the darkness, they can't mesh. They're no longer of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have continued in that light. They wouldn't have departed into the darkness. But they went out that they may be made manifest that none of them were of us. See, he's drawing a distinction here. He's saying, you need to call those people out. You need to see them for what they are, and you need to have them depart from us. But he's not saying that necessarily that they have all departed. He's saying that you need to recognize them and know them for what they are. And how do we know that? But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, here's an interesting teaching, and here's an interesting description. We have another slide. In context, John is using Antichrist to describe those who were at one time were Christians and were now false teachers who had departed from the faith. Anointing. Here's another word that we need to define. An urgent or smearing, that is figuratively the special endowment of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's two ways that you can take this. That you can take this teaching. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Here we have a miraculous giving of the Holy Spirit that those that have this, they know all things. They have perfect, true knowledge. They can't misunderstand things. The other is the understanding that it's the study of the truth that gives them the perfect knowledge of God. So here we have this figurativeness of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, that they've been the miraculous giving to them, that, well, here I have the Holy Spirit, I have perfect understanding. Is that what John is talking about here? Is John saying that here were those that had this perfect understanding and now they're antichrist? Because see, if we're saying that they have that perfect understanding, then they were once a part of them. So they had the perfect understanding too, correct? They would have had that as well. But now he's calling them out as antichrist. Do you follow what I'm saying? If the Holy Spirit miraculously had been given to them, okay, and they had perfect all understanding, this is what people teach, they had perfect all understanding, then they departed, they fell away, they did wrong, they were teaching falsely, they were the antichrist. Or do we take it to study the truth gives them perfect knowledge of God? Now we understand and we know, here's John writing to them, here's an apostle, here's one who has the Holy Spirit, here's one who who has perfect understanding when the Holy Spirit gives it to them to give it to them. We understand that those existed then. That the apostles, they had that. When they got up to speak in Acts, we see those circumstances. When what they were going to say was given to them at that very moment, and they spoke it because they didn't have the written word. But not everyone at that time was given that ability. Not everyone at that time had that perfect knowledge and that perfect understanding. Instead, we have authors such as Paul, such as Peter, such as John, writing to them to tell them things that they needed to remember, to tell them things that they needed to continue in, that they had already taught them, and to give them that understanding. And they needed to study that understanding. They needed to study that truth. They needed to study that so they didn't become like these others, so they didn't become antichrist, as we see that these others have become. So I think we can understand that the idea here is the same for us today. We don't have that perfect understanding. We don't have that Holy Spirit having been miraculously poured out on us so that I stand up here this morning and the Holy Spirit gives me utterance of the things that I am going to say to you and it just comes out. The things that I present this morning, I've had to study. I've had to, as it says, study the truth to have that perfect knowledge. We also understand that even with study, even with time given to material and understanding, we can be wrong about things. We can have someone point out to us, hey, you know, I think what the Bible is saying here is this. We can come to a better understanding of those things. But it's through study. It's through time. It's through that understanding that is how we get to that perfect knowledge, that perfect understanding. So when he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, he says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that there is no lie of the truth. He's reminding them of what he's already told them. Outpouring would have also been on those that are now being described as antichrists, as we discussed by John. So John is revealing truth to them that they already know and they need to follow. He's reminding them, hey, you know the truth. We've told you the truth. We've taught you the truth before. We've taught you these things. You know it. You need to continue in it. Avoid those antichrists. Avoid those false teachers that have come in amongst you and are trying to lead you away, and continue in the truth. We also have the next word we want to look at. Deny. Deny that Jesus is the Christ. Here we have, this is what these men are really doing. This is what these antichrists are stirring up trouble. These Gnostics that we've talked about before. Here they have come in. Remember, we talked about the fact that they were denying that Jesus was who he says he was. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Verse 22. Here they were. They were denying that Jesus is Christ. These antichrists, that's exactly what they were doing. They were stirring up this trouble. They were saying, hey, I have perfect understanding of things. I have this perfect knowledge because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on me. And the Holy Spirit has told me these things. I have this perfect understanding of it. They're telling them. They're false teachers. They're trying to say that Jesus is not the Christ. They're trying to say that they have new revelation, new teaching, that they have this true understanding of things. They're false teachers. They're liars, as he depicts them. To deny is to refuse. John writes to them that they know the truth, but they're refusing that truth. They know this. They know this to be true. They know that Jesus is Christ. They know that he is the Son of God. They know that he is what he says he is, but they're falling away. They're falling astray. They're falling into this false teaching, and he's telling them, hey, shore it up. Remember what you've been taught. Remember what I've written to you. I do not write to you because you do not know it. He says, I write to you because you do know it. I'm reinforcing it to you that no lie is of the truth. So again, this is for us today. There's many around us that deny this very thing. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. What happens when we deny that Jesus is the Christ? One, we're a liar. The Bible has heinous things to say about liars. Liars, we can look at passages that point out that lying is not good. Simply put, John 8, verse 44, here the devil is talked about as the liar. You are the father of the devil, and the desire, Jesus speaking, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here we have the devil. Jesus tells us, hey, the devil is the father. He's the creator, the originator of lies. God didn't develop lies. Just like God didn't develop sin. Instead, the devil, he's the father of those things. He developed those things. So when we deny that Jesus is the Christ, first and foremost, we're a liar. because it's simply not true. Jesus is the Christ, so it makes us a liar. Number two, he says it makes us an antichrist. We've already talked about this. We've discussed this. What is an antichrist? Antichrist is one who's in opposition to Christ, one who's opposition to the Messiah, opposite of Christ. It's one that is not a part of Christ. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, just in case that we're wondering, is Antichrist okay? For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. It's not okay to be an antichrist. Simply not. It says many deceivers. There's lying again. Deceiving, lying, synonyms go hand in hand. Who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. See what they're doing? They're convincing people, just like we have people today. Don't we have people today teaching this very thing? That Jesus never came to earth, never robed himself in flesh, didn't do the things that he said he did? We have people that teach that today. The people that teach that, people that false teach, just like those people then, are antichrist. And then, thirdly, we do not have the Father. When we deny that Jesus is the Christ, we're a liar, we're an antichrist, and we do not have the Father. I don't know about you, but those all sound like pretty terrible things to me. Those sound like things that I don't want to be any part of in my life. I don't want to be known as a liar. You know people around you that are known as liars? How do people respect those people, you know, once you get labeled a liar? Unfortunately, in my professional career, have dealt with people that simply did not know how to tell the truth. They just didn't. And everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. And they had no respect for that individual. Just none at all. They did not know how to tell the truth. You stop going to those people. You don't even pay attention to them. You know? You have nothing to do with them. Antichrist in and of itself just sounds like a terrible thing, and it is. And then we want the Father. So what about the Bible, though? Let's look at some other passages that talk about denying that Jesus is the Christ, denying these things, and see about these people. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 4, I meant to change this slide to say instead of certain men, to say ungodly men. I thought I had done it. I must not have saved it. Verse 4, for certain men have crept in unknowns who long ago were marked out of this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Here are those that are denying the Lord. How does Jude describe them? He describes them as ungodly men. He describes them as men, in fact, that were long ago marked. People knew them and marked them for condemnation because they were false teachers. So they had been marked as false teachers. These certain men had. They were ungodly men. You know? Unpleasant things. Titus chapter 1. Nothing good to say about these people that deny Christ. There's nowhere in the Scriptures are we going to turn and it's going to say people that deny Christ and say, put them in some positive light. It's just not going to happen. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now this is an interesting passage here because, you know, these other passages basically say through speech. You know, you deny Christ through speech. Here it talks about these men were denying God through their works. They weren't representing what Christ was about. They were denying Him. They were denying that. And how does it describe these people who are defiled and unbelieving? Are those things that we want to be? Do you want to be labeled as an ungodly person, as defiled and unbelieving, as a liar, as an antichrist? Oh, I messed up. That's what had happened. False teacher, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Here we get to the ultimate point. Here are those that are denying Christ. They're ungodly men. They're defiled and unbelieving. They're false teachers. They bring on themselves swift destruction. There's no hope for these people. Once you start denying that Jesus is the Christ, there's no hope. You know, there is no hope. Here, one that we know that denying Christ, we talk about it. Peter, John 18, 17 through 27. You can look at the other gospel accounts. Here was one, Peter, who was given the chance to profess. He knew Christ as he followed behind him as Christ was going to his trials and then his beatings and these heinous things that were going to happen to him that ultimately led to his death. And three times people asked him, just as Jesus predicted. Jesus prophesied and said, Peter, before the rooster crows, three times you will deny me. And that's exactly what Peter did. These men, these women, these men said, hey, I know you. You were with Christ. No, I don't know that man. You were with Christ? No, I do not know that man. And then he got so irate and so upset that third time that he started cursing. I simply don't know this man. He said, there's no way. And then that cock crowed. Peter repented of those things. See, there's still hope as long as we repent. As long as we come back and say, I denied Christ through my actions, through my words, but I repent of that. But, you know, if we don't repent, there remains no hope. There remains no hope at that point. We do not have the Father. Jesus and the Father are one. You can look at some of these passages that prove this point, that Jesus and the Father are one. John 5, verse 23. They should all honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. John 8, verse 19. Then they said to him, where is your Father? You know neither me nor my Father. For you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And then John chapter 10, verse 30 simply says in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. We do not have the Father. Jesus and the Father are one. We cannot dismiss Jesus and hope to be right with the Father. Yet that's exactly what so many people do. That's what people in that day and age were doing. They want to deny the existence of Jesus. They want to deny that the things occurred just like the New Testament, just like Jesus says that those things occurred. That here he came to earth, he robed himself in flesh, he lived that period of time on earth, teaching his disciples and those that would follow him. And then he went to that cross and died and was raised that third day and he ascended into heaven. People deny that to this day. They don't want any part of that. But yet, they say, well, I believe in God. How can you? I believe in God, they say, though, and they worship God. And they may change his name. They may call him different things and they may depict him differently and this sort of thing. But they believe in God, yet they deny the Son. Well, what's the point? The point is just like John is telling them then at that time. He's telling them, you can't do that. You can't deny the Son and expect to be right with God. Well, we can't do the same today. We can't deny the Son and say, oh, but God is pleasing to me. God is pleased with me. Well, how can that be when they are one? Let's make some applications. Acknowledges the Son has the Father. You know, if we acknowledge the Son, turn back to 1 John chapter 3, or chapter 2, excuse me. And then at the very end of our reading there, he says, he who acknowledges the Son, in verse 23, has the Father also. So again, this can go back to our chart when we talked about who has the Father versus who doesn't. Remember we said, if you're in the light, you're with the Father. If you confess your sins, you're with the Father. If you do not love the world, you have the Father. We can add this to it now. If we acknowledge the Son, then we can have the Father. If we acknowledge the Son. Look over how some people did that. Here in Revelation, John writing, and he writes to these churches as God lays out to him to write. In verse 13 of chapter 2, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Verse chapter 3, verse 8, I know your works have shut before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Here were two congregations that refused to deny the name of Christ, even in the face of martyrdom. Here was one who was martyred. They refused it. We can be bold and have courage in confessing Christ to others. The apostles, you look over in those verses, time and time again it said, they boldly proclaimed the name of Christ. Acts 4, 13, 29, 31, and so on, etc. They boldly proclaimed the name of Christ. And in what circumstances were they doing it? Are they doing it like I am now? You know, here I am in front of an audience of 99% of people, you know, or whatever. I know very well in here. And I know that people aren't going to start, you know, throwing rocks at me and jumping on me and trying to kill me for standing up here and saying the things that I'm saying. Was that what the apostles were going through? Was that what, in Revelation, that man that was a martyr was going through? Of course not. They were in hostile environments. Stephen, stoned for his teachings. Paul, go through the list of all the things he went through, the beatings. Peter and John jailed time and time again. These things happened. But they boldly proclaimed it. And here we are today, and we're worried that if we boldly proclaim things, we might lose some friends. some people may not like us anymore, so we shy away from talking about these things. Don't talk about religion. People don't like that. You might lose some friends. Here we see that they boldly did it. If we want to acknowledge the Father like it says, it's easy to do it right here and right now. That's easy. We need to do it boldly in other places. We need to acknowledge Him by our words and by our actions. We need to do those things, just as we see here. Finally, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I apologize about the typos. You know, I have a newfound, just really quick, I have a newfound respect for people with children and especially multiple children. I don't know how y'all do it. I got to bed late, got up early, was trying to get Aiden ready to go. It's tough. Apologize about the mistakes. But I have newfound respect for you that have raised children, multiples, and now they're growing, and you that are still doing it. Whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. It can't get any simpler than that, can it? If you deny me today, Christ is going to deny you before His Father. Think about that. But there's hope. Another typo. 10:23. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. If you're here this morning and you have yet to be baptized, you have yet to repent, you have yet to confess that good confession that we've been talking about, you have yet to do those things, we have the means that we can take care of that this very morning. We have the pulpit or the baptistry right here. We can immerse you in that water so that you can come up as it talks about that new man, so you can walk with Him. If you have done that, but you've not been living as you should, it's public nature, and you make those things correct, once you come now, sit on the front pew. Let's make those things right before it's everlastingly too late as we stand and sing.